time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Blackhawks go and beat the Flames. And then the second night of a back-to-back, the Flames beat the Jets in a do-or-die. Ah, man, I can't figure this team out. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Flames on Filter, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. And yeah, Kyle, how are you today?
Neutral?
Neutral?
I mean, or are you just based off of hockey, yeah.
Like cautiously optimistic? Okay. Is that still the word we're using? I don't know if I'm optimistic. I know, I am too. I'm fighting with myself.
I'm still so angry about the Blackhawks loss that I'm having a really hard time being, you know, as optimistic as maybe some feel I should be.
That one sucks. But, okay, here's the only way I can get that one through my mind is that we've had about 15 of those this year.
Only 15?
You know what I mean? If you think back, like there's an Anaheim game that makes me want to puke. There's two other Chicago games that make me want to puke.
Well, it might also be the case because you haven't been feeling well. That might also be why you want to puke. But
speaking of that, I am going on Sunday will be 2 weeks. I don't even know how I get out of bed in the morning anymore. I don't know why I've been sick this long. I do know I am on medication now, so hopefully that finally kicks what I have. Bear with me. I know my voice doesn't sound like it normally does, and I don't feel worth a shit, to be honest with you. But
actually, you sound fine. It's really just the fact you told me that you have been sick.
it's not been cool. I don't like it.
No, I can't imagine. So yeah, we do have lots to talk about though. So
we do.
Hang in there.
We do.
Hang in there. Yeah. So, before we get rolling here. So today is game worn jersey.
As I
attempt to inspire our, you know, mutual fans and the team, is a Robin Regier game worn with the cool Atlanta Flames assistant captain. This one's from the 2010-2011 season. It's pretty beat up too, actually. And it's absolutely huge. It's like a 58 plus. So on my 165 frame, it's like I look like a flying squirrel.
I thought you were going to maybe have like a Lucic and, you know, say how... I'm not going there.
Are you making a joke about me buying a Lucic game worn jersey? Because I do not appreciate that.
Oh, jeez.
No. If I ever considered it, might have been after that Wicked Wrister a couple games ago, but it was a fleeting moment in my head, I assure you.
You know the one time when I look back, the one moment where I was like pro Lucic was the Nashville game 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that game?
It was the background of my phone for a while.
Oh my god, that was
it really was. That was a shame getting obliterated. It was great. It was
the only time that I went to bed at night thinking, "Man, I'm glad he's on this team." Since then, I've been like, "Get this guy." I don't know. I got a question for you. I'm watching a Wednesday night's game. Tuesday night, I watched and I was junk. I could have cared less because I felt that bad. Wednesday night, I felt pretty good watching the game. I did, and I was pretty excited for it actually, and. There was a point, though, in the first period, and yeah, you might have to kick me off the show for thinking this, but I can't lie. There was a point in the middle of the first period where I was like, you know, would this team just put me out of my misery?
I've thought that many, many times.
I just kind of wanted it to be done. I did. I kind of wanted it to be done. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. The reason I watch hockey is to get entertained. And if we make the playoffs or we don't, at least the last stretch here has been entertaining. Frustrating sometimes.
Well, that's what I was saying the other day. But and trying to convince myself of is that, hey, at least we've been watching meaningful hockey. Which, we're doing into at least game 80.
Yeah. And right? Honestly, I don't know what you think. I thought Wednesday night was a good hockey game. A really, really good hockey game. But it was entertaining hockey. It was great. It had everything.
Yeah, it just when an entertaining hockey game, you know, is dictated by horrific house league level pickup hockey garbage giveaways, it's really a tough pill to swallow. By one player in particular who we've been very vocal about.
That was on Tuesday, right? Wednesday.
I mean, really, you know, my mistake. It's tomorrow's Good Friday, so I'm really confused with my days right now. Yeah.
Well, Tuesday was a shit show. We're going to talk about that. I got a bone to pick.
I don't want to talk about that.
We have to, because I'm pissed. I'm still fired. I'm still on fire.
So you don't seem sick at all when you get mad.
Yeah. You want to know another thing I'm mad about? And Kyle, you're not going to understand this, but you got to hear me out on this. And I think you're going to agree with me that this is BS. The other night, after the game, was it Tuesday night or was it? No, it was last Saturday night. Last Saturday night after the Vancouver. We played Vancouver on Saturday, right?
Yes, we did.
I go to listen to the post-game show on Sportsnet Fan 960, which I like. I like it. I like listening to Pat. I think Pat's great. I think the call-in show is entertainingly stupid sometimes, but good. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
And I go click on my TuneIn radio to stream it. And it tells me that the stream you're trying to connect is not working. So I'm like, okay. So I go to the Sportsnet website, pull it up on there, and I get the same thing. And I'm like, well, they must be having technical difficulties. So Sunday, I thought, I just better check this out. Yeah, I got the same message. I thought, well, okay, something happened. They're going to fix it Monday morning. No one's working. All right. Monday comes, nothing. I go into my truck Monday night to leave work, and I thought, I'll see what they're talking about on Flames Talk. I punch it up on my truck, and it says on there that I am blacked out. How do you get blacked out on the radio?
Okay, so I didn't know where you were going with this when you said I wasn't going to understand, because as far as blackouts go, I completely understand. But on a
television aspect, you completely exactly, understand.
Exactly, and that's where I'm going with this. Yeah,
audio? We're blacking out audio now? Are you shitting me? So now I didn't
know that was a thing.
I have to go to my phone. I have to click on the VPN, pretend I'm in Canada, to listen to a radio show? Like, is this sort of new government regulation in Canada or something? I don't get it.
I was not aware of it. Now, I haven't attempted to listen to the show recently, so that, you know, it could be a problem on the East Coast for a Canadian like myself anyway. So I'll have to check that out. It's just going to infuriate me, because I have a feeling I'll have the same problem.
I don't think you will. I think it's going to be fine in Canada. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm jumping to conclusions.
I don't know. The only games and shit that we get for Canadian teams on television typically are the Ottawa Senators, which I can't even begin to tell you how little people around here generally care about the Ottawa Senators. They're all Toronto, Montreal, or Boston fans. We do get a lot of Bruins games. But the fact that Montreal and Toronto are so close to us and they're so often blocked out is absolutely absurd.
If the NHL is really, truly worried about getting their product into the hands of the fans, they got to quit this blackout stuff. They've got to.
It's unbelievable. And when you think about it, I mean, like, if you're a fan from out of market, like, well, both of us are, you know, we're exactly the kind of people that you want to attract, right? You know, if you want us to go to your city and spend money in your city and spend money on the team and buy all the merch.
And we do.
Well, that's it. But the thing is the way that the NHL conducts itself. It reminds me of Rocky or
Chicago. Yeah, Bill Ward. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why everybody went to the Wolves games back then.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, because I'm sure there's some listeners who don't, this is still mind blowing to me. But Bill Wirt's theory was that if you put games on local television, it would discourage fans from actually going to the game, which is the dumbest theory about pro sports viewership I've ever heard of in my life.
The only thing that discourages fans from going to games in your market is shitty teams and expensive tickets. Those are the only two things that deter fans from going.
Yep, I agree with
that. And if you want to add Chicago, if you want to rip on them, the fact that you have a 50-50 chance of getting shot on the way to the United Center, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's in the worst area I've ever been in my entire life.
I've heard that.
In the worst city I've been in my entire life. I don't know. I don't know. I find it funny that we're worried about going to Australia for games, but we can't even get games on TV to the people in our countries.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Anyways,
so before we go on too long about that, we should get to the show's agenda.
Let's go. Three games to recap. All of them we're going to talk pretty in detail about. We'll talk about the troubles reemerge for the team in a loss to Chicago, Kadri's attitude, Markstrom's struggles rear their ugly head in that game, And then some Flames news to discuss. Talk a little bit about some guys coming back from injuries. So that's good news. And then we'll discuss how in the world this team can still make the playoffs and if it's still possible and what they need to do to make that happen. All that on Flames Unfiltered. All right, Kyle. Anaheim comes to town. Sunday. This is Sunday night, yeah. I'm all messed up. What the hell was I talking about Vancouver on Saturday? That was on Friday.
Yeah. That's right. See, I thought I was a little messed up here. Anyway, as long as we know the results, we'll be okay.
Well, the result was in the favor of the Flames, 5-4, barely. Yeah. I had to come from behind again, which scares the living crap out of both of us because that doesn't happen very often. But
no, lately it seems to.
Okay. Markstrom stinks it up in the first period, right?
Big time.
And I thought to myself, do you change? Did we text each other this or am I dreaming that?
We sure did. We sure did.
We did. And sure shit, we were right for once. Daryl Sutter goes and puts in Dan Vladar. And I don't know, Flames rattle off 3 straight and get a lead. Give it back, but get a lead.
Well, it did what it was intended to do, or at least, right?
It did. And Markstrom was junk. And why not? He was. And why not change what's not working, right? And our team was flat as a pancake. How this team can be flat in any of these games is beyond me. But they were.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know you loved it. Late or in mid-third, Milan Lucic scores a game-tying goal. And it was a good goal. It really, really was.
That's probably the best goal I've seen him score as a Flame. Now, I don't remember all of them, which you think I would because there's only like, I don't know, 20 of them.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a great shot. It was a really great shot, absolutely.
And timely, too. I mean, and it ties the game, and I don't know. And you know, one thing I want to say about Lucic, I'm really tough on him. I'm really hard on him. But, you know, it's not necessarily his fault that Sutter keeps putting him out in these situations.
Not at all.
Right? And it's not Lewis's fault that he's getting more ice time in the third period than Jonathan Huberdeau is. But it's not their fault. They're not, like, jumping the boards. I don't know. Maybe I should take it easy on him and maybe he'll play better. But I did laugh a little bit when he hit Zegras, and Zegras laughed in his face. Yeah. Did you not think that was funny?
No, it was great. I loved it.
Somebody tweeted, I can't remember who it was, somebody tweeted and said, when your tough guy's getting laughed at for being physical, he's not a tough guy anymore.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty damn fitting. So,
I just want to point out, by the way, too, that I was very, well, surprisingly wrong about Lucic. He actually had 2 seasons, last season, the season before, of 10 goals each.
He scored 8 of them in the first 10 games last year. Remember that?
Yeah, so as a Flame, he actually has 35 career goals across 4 seasons. That's
we've been
that's
watching him for 4 years, Kyle.
Yeah, 1920 to the present day.
I swear to God, if I have to watch him next year, I'm gonna.
Yeah, you said that last night, and I don't. I want to be careful because I'm scared we might accidentally manifest that. You know, I honestly, on a league minimum deal, I wouldn't, for a year, I wouldn't mind keeping him necessarily if I could trust he'd be used sparingly and he wouldn't get in the way of the guys who should be in the lineup. But I do not trust
that with any coach
with this team ever.
No, that's not what's going to happen. I guarantee that's not what's going to happen. He's going to take a spot away from somebody that needs it and deserves it.
Jacob Peltier.
Yes.
Connor Zary.
Yes.
Matt Coronado.
Keep the list going.
Yeah. Okay,
so big comeback though. Second in a row, 4th win in a row. Stone comes back from injury, rocket shot, man. Game winner. You called that one.
Yeah. I should have wore the Stone jersey today, but
you called it.
You mentioned this before we went on today too, like how the defensemen have performed so admirably that Stone scores a huge game winning goal and comes into the lineup. Kind of speaks to the depth that they've been showing off lately, and. Because he hasn't, you know, hadn't played since then, it's kind of like, it's just kind of weird to me, you know? Like, you couldn't really ask for a better first game back than that, can you?
He was awesome. Was there one point, okay, here's why I look about your third pairing defense. If I don't notice you, hell yeah, that was a good night.
Generally, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't notice him the whole game. He didn't screw up, didn't do anything. But I noticed him offensively. And I noticed
what the highlight was, though? The highlight of the night?
What's that?
Was his post-game presser.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you got to watch it. It was so funny. It was so funny. They're talking about, they asked him a few different things and about, you know, how many posts the Flames have hit this year. He's like, well, not mine. You know, mine usually get blocked or miss the net.
He's untrue. He hits the net more than any guy in this team.
Which is hilarious. He hits the net all the time. I remember being in a game last year, game two against Edmonton in the playoffs, and he, you know, he took a slap shot to get blocked. He's like, okay, so he just rips it again and scores. Like,
the guy hits the net. I mean, he's got a rocket. It's about a foot off the ice every time. It's never a blaster that's high. It's right where it's going to get tipped. It's right where it's going to beat a goalie right over the pad. I love his shot.
You know what we need to do?
What?
You know what we need to do? We've talked about this before. We are going to have some guests in the show, and we've talked about a few of them but amongst ourselves. We need to get Michael Stone on the show.
We do, this summer. We need to figure a way to do that.
We're going to make that happen.
We are. We're going to
make that happen. Because, you know, whether he re-signs or not, and if Pass has taught us anything, he's getting a league minimum deal for 1 year on the eve of training camp.
And he doesn't want to go anywhere other than here, so that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to know how much we appreciate him. So I'm going to put the Michael Stone talk to rest for now, but just by saying we need to make that happen. So stay tuned. We will make that happen.
The bad news. Let's talk the bad news now. Chicago at Calgary. Markstrom in goal. Where do we go with this? What do you want to talk about? What part?
I mean, let's get the worst part of the way. And I mean, and I'll say my piece and I'll let you chime in, because you've actually been beating this drum a lot harder than I have in terms of Mr. 91 and his, like, he let's just call it space, but he cost the team this game. The Flames were not great. Markstrom was not, you know, standing on his head or anything. I didn't find he was that good, but he would have been good enough had it not been for Kadri's unbelievably lazy, pathetic play. He cost the team 2 points. And the fact, and I remember you being fired up about this in the aftermath, and I was as well, but you kind of pointed it out. He took zero responsibility, seemingly, post-game.
Yeah.
No, like zero. And this is a guy who makes big money. He's expected to be a leader on this team, one of their top scoring forwards. And when, I'm going to say when, if, because there's still hope, we'll get to that as well, of course, if we miss the playoffs. I look at that Chicago game largely because it's one of few games where you can solely blame that loss on one player in my mind. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you to give your thoughts.
You know, when we signed Nazem Kadri, I guess I was happy. I mean, I think that's what a fan does. I think you're just happy of the hope that it could be great.
Well, I hated him as a player.
But so that's what did
you
I.
But, you know, Brad Marchand type. You're like, you got to hate that guy on another team. But I was like,
he doesn't
even
play like that, though. He doesn't even play like that. Nobody in the league hates me or doesn't freaking do anything. Teams don't hate guys that are lazy. They don't. They don't freaking hate. Why would you hate a lazy guy?
Well, they hated him in St. Louis because he was doing stuff, right?
And, okay, so I'm so frustrated with this. And here's why. We're in a do-or-die game. Or somewhat of a do-or-die game with Chicago. At home, in front of your fans.
Yeah.
And it's not the turnover aspect. Turnovers happen. There isn't a guy in our roster that hasn't had turnovers this year, right? And some bad ones. Like Michael Backlund comes to mind. Just a bad timely. You know what I'm talking timing-wise. Like, there's bad turnovers. Sure. Hannafin's heads. The list goes on and on and on. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, Kadri has two. He freaking had one last night, too, but nobody's talking about that now because we won, right? Well, when you lose... Well,
because he didn't lay directly to a goal.
No, like it led to a humongous save, though, that had to be made, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? But yeah, here's the problem that I have with this. Now, I bitched a couple weeks ago on the show about people breaking sticks and frustration and stuff like that, okay? I'm not asking you to put a pout fest on, but you at least got to look like you care a little bit when you screw up, right? A little bit.
You know what? I hung my goaltender out to dry and pick up hockey last week, and it's just a bunch of dudes, you know, it's basically shinny, and I get to the bench and I smash my stick, and it's just pickup, you know, you shouldn't take it too seriously, but I was mad because it was my fault, mm-hmm. and I showed more emotion in the most meaningless hockey anyone's ever witnessed.
It blows my mind. We have prospects sitting in the press box Jacob Peltier would not. He can make mistakes, but he isn't going to make a mistake over lack of effort. Lack of effort mistakes and lack of effort penalties piss me the hell off. And that's what I'm getting from Nazem Kadri lately. It's just, I don't give a shit attitude, this self-entitlement that, oh, I won my cup. I'm a superstar now, and everybody's got to listen to me, and I got a feeling, and I don't have any idea. I'm not in the locker room, but if I had to put money on it, that guy is hell-bent on making Sutter's life hell, and that he thinks that he's the king shit now because he got ran out of Toronto and then he won a cup in Colorado and they didn't want to re-sign him. Well, they had money issues that involved that also. But you know what? I've seen a lot of teams that had money issues still figure out ways to re-sign guys they know they can't live without. I haven't heard one person in Colorado this year say, boy, if we had Nazem Kadri, would that be great? No, they're laughing now, watching him in Calgary go half-ass and make bad plays, and then go in the presser after and say, the ice was getting a little chippy at the end of the period. You freaking blame this on the ice? We as a Flames fan group were talking about, people were saying they wanted him, 10 games in, wanted him to be captain of this team. And we have a captain blaming freaking shitty ice on two turnovers that cost a game? No. Yeah. Captains stand up and say, that's on me. I am sorry. I don't know how or what I was thinking at the moment, and I'm going to take the necessary changes to make sure it doesn't happen again. Nope. Yeah. We don't get that from him. I don't know.
Yeah, it was I don't think I can sum it up any better than you just did.
It's crazy to me.
But again, and this is where I take issue with the coaching aspect of it, is that this double standard. Jacob Peltier had a rough game against the LA Kings. Hasn't been back in since.
Yep. Kadri's right back out there.
Yeah, and that's not right. And that, next shift. You know. Yeah.
And we saw, though, last night, too. Lucic takes a dumb penalty. We saw Lewis take a dumb penalty last night. Boom, they're right back out there. And everybody's going to take a bad penalty. I get this. This isn't bantams where you got to, like, peewees, you got to, you know, send messages. But, like, come on, guys. Come on. This is a National Hockey League. You want to know a positive, though, on the Chicago game?
I thought I had to throw a positive out there for a change, but you go ahead. What do you got?
I thought Hanifin was more active offensively, and I love it when he's active offensively because he's so much better.
Oh, yeah. He's never going to be a defensive stalwart, right? He's capable, but yeah, he's at his best when he's joining the rush and, you know, jumping into the play. I get maybe... Maybe this is the time to talk about it because you just, you know, maybe think of it even more. How good has Troy Stetcher been?
Well, is there a time when you're out there or when he's on the ice that you're like worried? Because I'm not.
No, there's lots of times where I think we're going to do something good when he's on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he just, for his size or lack thereof, the way he just forces the puck forward. Like when he did it along the boards, I think it was in the Winnipeg game last night, if I remember right. Like he's just a ball of energy, and like he skates his tail off, and they have to re-sign this guy. They really do.
I'm one of those that's real hesitant lately after some of the things I've watched about quickly re-signing somebody. But
yeah,
Stetcher and Walker Dewar are two people that I feel real comfortable with it.
Well, I'm going to break it down into two categories of player, okay? So the two best pairs, so the pairs of the guys that have been here for a little while, Backlund and Toffoli, have been fantastic. Backlund, and I was rushing to tweet it because I wanted to be one of the first ones to point out, new career high in points at 54. And his 50 total of 53 was like 5 years ago, so it's pretty significant. And Tyler Toffoli, what more can we say about him? He has been our best forward in the second half and the single biggest reason this team is still has a chance of making the playoffs. So those are the two guys that have been around that have been really, really good. The two guys that are newer that have been unbelievable are Walker Dewar and Troy Stetcher.
Yep. And, you know, I don't know if I ever will think that Walker Dewar is going to be like a guy that lights it up. But boy, does he create stuff, doesn't he?
I get the feeling he's going to finish his career with a couple of 20-goal seasons to his credit.
Yeah.
Well, he works so hard.
Protects the puck so well.
Yeah, he's like a more offensive, I've said this before, but he's like a more offensively inclined Garnet Hathaway, and he's a bit of a better skater too.
He's bigger.
Yeah, he's really, really good. I don't see how he comes out of the lineup. I should say at this point, I don't see how he's not a regular next season.
I would pencil him in for sure.
If anything, he will likely be on the third line, not the fourth.
We got to sign him, though, don't we?
Yeah.
Look, I'm pulling it up here. I think we have to sign him. I think he's our restricted free agent, so he's restricted at least.
Well, he won't cost a lot just yet, at least.
What would you say? What would you think if I said 3 years, 1.2 each year?
Absolutely. All day long.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
All day long.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's from South Dakota. That's right.
Yeah, first ever.
Huh. I forgot that. Huh, very cool. Yeah, he's an absolute shoo-in. Anyway, we're starting to get off track a little bit. I don't think we've really got to the Winnipeg game yet.
Let's do it. Let's talk the Winnipeg game. Last night, pretty much a do or die. I mean, as much as if the Flames lose this game, they're done.
Oh, they're done. They're because done. Any other domino falling in any direction essentially would mean they'd be mathematically out. So they're done. They had to win that game. And they had to win that game in regulation.
Which is good. Jacob Markstrom gets the start on a second night of a back-to-back with travel. Now, how did you feel about that?
Well, I don't agree with the whole history of, last time I did it, it went really well. But it's basically what Sutter said. I didn't like that. I'm like, okay, so, you know, that'll happen on occasion. I didn't think... Honestly, I would have gone with Lider. I'm glad that he went with Markstrom and he was right. But
I'm glad he was right.
Yeah, I based on the play of Dustin Wolf and the Markstrom being the contract he has and everything, Vladimir just feels really forgotten, and I feel like he might wind up somewhere else this summer. In fact, I think there's a very high probability he winds up somewhere else this summer, and we all just kind of forget how good he was at times, and then he could be a really good goalie.
I think he's a really good goalie. I do. I think he's a really good goalie, and I probably would have started him last night, but I'm glad. Yeah,
David Rittich went like. What was David Rittich in 18-19? He was like 25-9 or something.
Yeah, but don't compare him because David Rittich wasn't making saves. Like, do you think he was? I don't.
Yeah, there were certainly games where he was. I just think that it's so hard to know a goaltender's ceiling, and Rittich obviously is a backup, and if he gets hot at times, can be kind of a 1B for short stretches. But
he can be bad at.
Oh yeah, I don't know what Vladar's. I don't know. Point is, I don't know what's going to become of him, but it just, he kind of feels like the forgotten dude now. And based on Markstrom's play last night, you can kind of understand why. Like, Markstrom last night was just fantastic.
You know what I noticed differently about Markstrom's game last night? And I'm not a goalie, and I never have been, and I don't claim to be a goalie expert at all. But I do know one thing. By all the hockey I've watched over my lifetime, when he's aggressive to the shot and moving out, squaring up and moving out towards the shooter,
yep,
he is so much better than when he's sitting back on his freaking
crease. Well, he's a big goaltender, and he needs to use that size, right?
He was aggressive last night. He was aggressively attacking the shots and thus making the saves.
You know, it's funny. I'd almost liken it to when people talk about, like, forechecking. Forechecking doesn't mean you're out there running everybody over.
No.
It means you're pressuring, the opposition to get them to cough the puck up, checking down low, that kind of stuff. And to me, Markstrom being aggressive means the same kind of thing. It involves so many different things. So him being aggressive is him being at the top of his crease, cutting off the angles. Him being aggressive, despite the fact he got a penalty, is spraying an opposing player with a water bottle.
How do you call that a penalty? Well, whatever.
Well, it's kind of dumb. Like, people do that. Like, one of the Flames could have been sprayed on the bench by a teammate. Right?
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that penalty. So the Flames score, and Dubois skates all the way down to the other end to start lipping at Markstrom, right?
Yeah.
All the way down on the other end. The Flames are cheering and changing. A scrum ensues, and because we're in the middle of a change, after the whistle, when play's not going, we get an extra penalty for having an extra guy on the ice. Not like somebody jumped over the boards to get into the scrum.
Yeah. The scrum, you were fired up last night. You were texting me when that happened.
The scrum, so you know what I do then every time if I'm coach? Right when I start seeing the other team change, I'm going down and starting something with their goalie. I'm starting a scrum. I'm going to go push the goalie, and then I get a power play. It doesn't make any sense, though, does it?
No, but this doesn't, and this points to the thing that every fan base in the league has rightfully been screaming, is that the NHL has absolutely no idea what their own rules are, and moreover, there is absolutely no accountability whatsoever for their officials.
I couldn't believe when they made that call last night. I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, shit, every time that we score, why don't we go down and push on Hellebuck, create a scrum down there, we'll wait, watch for Winnipeg. As soon as an extra guy comes out, let's go push Hellebuck and start a scrum. They got an extra guy out there. I got a power play now, right?
Yeah, if we really start going down this rabbit hole of NHL officiating, we're going to be here all night, because I am so sick of coaches being fined for speaking the truth. I am sick of dumb penalties. I'm sick of games being decided by stupid calls, by inept officials. Now, people make mistakes.
Absolutely.
I make mistakes at work virtually every day. But I have to learn from it.
And we're held accountable
for it. Absolutely. And NHL officials have zero accountability. And my God, do I hope that changes.
So this team, speaking of penalties and power plays and stuff, this Flames get 6 power play opportunities last night, fail to score on any of them, and still win the game.
Yeah. Hey, it was like what was the Kings' power play percentage? You're the one that cup with Darryl Sutter's coach?
I don't know.
It was like 8%. Their power play 1 year was just horrific.
Well, last night it looked like they won. Our second unit last night.
Ugh.
Holy shit. Is Richie really the answer on a power play?
Oh, for God's sake. You know, like, Walker Duehr is more of an answer. Michael Stone as a point option makes more sense than a power play. There are all kinds of things that make so much more sense than
I can't bring
a Christian power play.
I don't know. Last night's power play was pathetic. And you were pissed because you were tweeting or texting me. And it was bad.
I don't know what to talk about the power play anymore because it just makes me sick.
But we're not going
to
talk
about it. I do want to point out, and I mentioned this to you last night as well, the pass from Huberdeau to Zadorov, and also the shot from Zadorov. That was a bullet.
And the pass was great, shot, everything.
But see that, I thought, and this is how good Jonathan Huberdeau can be, I'm thinking the whole time he's going to pass the middle of the ice, and I'm thinking, oh, that pass probably won't get through, or might get a weak shot away, or whatever. He's 3 steps ahead of me in his thinking. He knows Zadorov is jumping in, he's holding on to that puck until Zadorov is wide open. That is and somebody tweeted last night, and forgive me because I forget who it was, but somebody tweeted last night, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau is going to be damn good next year, and I think they're right. I think he goes back to 75 points plus next season.
I do too. I wish I felt that way about Kadri, but I do about Huberdeau.
Yeah. What a beautiful, beautiful pass. What a confident, right on the tape, perfect pass.
Another beautiful goal last night, Mascherano's from great pass from Backlund. That was a beauty too.
Mm-hmm.
Really good goals.
Backlund's really good at drawing players to him.
Yep.
But he's so good at holding on to the puck that you think you're going to, you know, disrupt what he's trying to do or take the puck off of him. And a lot of times you're not. Like, I saw something on Twitter today about the Selke conversation with Patrice Bergeron, of course, at the top of the list, and Backlund right there. And I don't know that you can make a better case for any other player than Michael Backlund with a career high in points.
He won't win.
Set plus 17 or 18 on a team full of minus players, or a lot of minus players at least. Yeah, and I don't think he will either, but I think if it was a season where he really deserved it, you'd be hard-pressed to pick anybody else.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's a shame he's not going to win it.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed?
You know what it reminds me of is all the years that Craig Conroy.
Yeah.
Was right up there for the Selke, and I don't think he ever won it. He certainly didn't in Calgary.
No, he didn't.
And who was the perpetual winner then? Oh, that's going to drive me nuts. I'm going to look that up. Because there was somebody at the time. Oh, Mike Pekka. Mike Pekka was one of the guys that was always in the way of Craig Conroy winning a Selke. Yeah. And now that I'm talking about it and thinking about it, that's a weird trophy. Because the same dudes always seem to win it. There's always like that one perennial front runner,
and then
which I guess you could say for the Hart trophy.
The trophies piss me off.
Yeah, because the Norris goes
to Norris is a joke. Because Erik Karlsson's a junk ass defenseman.
Yeah, somebody was talking about that the other day too, and I had quite a laugh because they're absolutely right.
He's
actually, it was during the Flames broadcast. Who was Rick Baldwin with that night? Greg Millen.
Yeah.
And did you hear that?
You told me. You pointed it out.
Yeah, Greg Millen was, I wouldn't say running him down, but he was giving a very thorough, clear opinion of Erik Karlsson is not a good defenseman. All the respect in the world for the ton of points he's put up. And that's not easy to do, obviously. But he is not good at all defensively. And the only, I always think back to this, and I think it was 2003, the only time I ever saw a trophy awarded to a player who actually really deserved it, and it doesn't fit the typical mold of the highest scoring whoever, was Barrett Jackman winning the Calder, I think, in 03.
Yeah.
And I think he finished the year, and I'm going to look this up, I think he had 3 goals and 15 assists. And he won the Calder as a defenseman. We'll never see that again.
No.
You know, like, yeah. Look at the jersey I'm wearing, a guy like Robin Regier. Like, he was never even close to a Norris Trophy.
Love that guy.
He was never near like one of the best defensemen in the league. Well, he kind of was in terms of being shut down.
He was like our Chris Tanev now.
Yeah, and he was an Olympian for a terrible 2006 Team Canada. But anyway, now I'm just rambling.
Okay, one other thing I noticed in the Winnipeg game is this. Winnipeg drew us in physically, right? With scrums and...
Yep.
Right? Why do I feel like the Flames play better when they're involved in a scrum-filled game?
Because they're a big team.
They do. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, damn it. I was so close. 3 goals and 16 assists for nine. I was off by 1 point for a stat.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'm going to go buy a lotto ticket for tonight. But yeah, I think that guys like Sidorov, guys like Dewar, guys like ideally Kadri, that we've seen at times, mostly in other teams, those guys need to almost be baited into a heavy, physical, testy kind of game, right?
Yep.
Trevor Lewis, I think you could fit into that as well. He's pretty tough.
I just feel like the more engaged we are physically, the better our results seem to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Injuries, Stone's back, Tanev's back. I think both of them looked
good. Yeah, speaking of Tanev, what a beautiful hit the other night. That open ice hit.
That was a really, really good hit.
Hook that to my veins. I love that stuff.
Really good.
Yeah.
So what do the Flames got to do to get in the playoffs, Kyle?
Well,
because where it stands, I'll give the rundown so the listeners know where we're at. As it stands, we're recording this on a Thursday night. Kyle and I don't know what day of the week it is this week. It's been one of those.
Yep.
Flames don't play tonight. Winnipeg doesn't play tonight. Nashville plays Carolina. Seattle plays Arizona. Seattle's in, so don't worry about them. All they have to do is get a point tonight, and Seattle's clinched. Yep. So, Calgary sits at 89. Winnipeg sits at 89 and holds the tiebreaker. Nashville sits at 86 but holds... one game in hand.
Correct.
No, they don't hold. They have
a game in hand on the Flames, don't they?
A game in hand on the Flames. Oh, tonight's game. They have 2 games in hand on the Flames and 1 game in hand on the Jets.
Okay.
Here's Calgary's remaining schedule. At Vancouver, home to Nashville, home to San Jose, ending their season on Wednesday the 12th. Winnipeg's is... at home to Nashville, at home to San Jose, a back-to-back the next day in Minnesota, and then they end their season on Thursday the 13th in Colorado. Nashville plays tonight, which is Thursday, at home to Carolina. Then they go to Winnipeg, to Calgary, which will determine their season, and then play a makeup game Thursday and Friday back-to-back at home, Minnesota, Colorado.
Well, regardless of what that all says, I think the Flames have to go 3-0 to finish the season.
I think we can do it if we get 5 points.
I think we're going to need all 6.
You do, huh?
You could be right. I mean, we're done with 1 point here, but yeah, that at least has to be the mentality.
So you think that Winnipeg's going to win 3 of their 4?
I think there's a very good chance of it.
I do too.
I see them going 2-1-1.
Okay, so that would give them 4 or 5 points. So that gives them 94. And then if we get 5 points, we're at 94 and we lose the tiebreaker.
Or we get 6 points. by going 3-0.
Against three beatable teams, but three teams we could easily lose to, too.
Well, based on the fact they lost three games to Chicago this year, but I think I just don't. I mean, there's been so many games, the Anaheim games we mentioned, the Chicago games, so many games the Flames had to win and they failed to win that if they don't go 3-0, they shouldn't be in the playoffs.
I think a lot of us.
They haven't got hot all year. They finally had a 4-game winning streak, right? Like,
yeah, but, you know, and I'm not tooting the horn of this Flames team because they've been, anything but consistent. But if you look at their games that they've played, their last 15, I mean, we've gotten points in, I think, 10 or 11 of 15.
Yep.
It's not horrendous. I mean,
no, it's pretty good. It's just, it's not, doesn't do as much as for you as it should when you've been so bad all year, right? Apart from, you know,
it just seems like the losses have been so magnified. Remember the 6-5 loss to Dallas last month? Remember that? Oh, gosh. Like, there's 2 points right there that night.
Well, look at all the one goal losses just in general. You can't lose that many games with one goal in the NHL. You just can't.
No.
What was it? 23? 24?
Yeah, it's,
I don't know. It's a massive number.
It's a massive number.
You know, take three of those points right now, and this conversation is completely different.
Yep, totally different.
Like, isn't that insane? Like, that makes no sense. How do you lose that many close games? And being, it's kind of rhetorical, but kind of like, Brad, fucking tell me how, because I don't get it.
I don't know that I can. Understand. I don't know if I can help you on this one. I mean, you look at this. Look at this. The Calgary has 15 loser points. You know,
yeah.
Winnipeg has 3.
Yeah.
Put that into perspective.
Perspective says it's a difference of 12 points, Brad. Like, that's nuts.
I don't know.
You win a handful of those games by, you know, putting it off a teammate's ass and you know, you're a 100-point hockey team. Like, it just makes no sense at all.
No, or number, or we win the Pacific.
Yeah! Like,
and and here's another stat that even blows your mind more. We've got 15 loser points with a sub-900 goaltending team.
That is wild. Wild.
We still might make the playoffs with a sub 900 goaltending crew.
And it's, yeah, tandem crew, not just one guy. They've both been terrible.
People
most of the year.
People have bitched all year about offensive productivity and stuff like that. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it quite honestly boils down to we needed saves and we didn't get them.
Oh, it's a lot of bad goals on these guys this year. It's just some, like, I don't know. I feel like one of the reasons we have so many loser points is because we really sorely missed Johnny Gaudreau's creativity in overtime. That guy thrived 3-on-3. But any combination of a couple more saves, a couple more bounces, a few less crossbars, you're like, yeah, we're going to the playoffs. So we playing?
If we don't let in, I think 5 or 6 now, first shots, how many more points do we have?
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I think we better move on to the next section, and that is previewing what still lies ahead in the remainder of the season. Back in one moment.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Kyle. 3 games remaining in our season. It starts
3 games.
That's it.
You know the weather's getting warm when?
3 games. Calgary in Vancouver Saturday night. Vancouver not been great lately, but they've lost 2 in a row, but have got points in 7 of the 10. I think we're going to see a very difficult Vancouver team on Saturday night. I do. They always play Calgary hard. I think it'll be a good game.
I think so too. That's the game that worries me the most, though, to finish the year. You'd think it'd be the Nashville game, but nope.
I feel more comfortable at the Nashville game. They get Nashville on Monday night, and I think that is, yeah, 2 days after Nashville has to play Winnipeg. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And yeah. Nashville's fighting for their playoff lives, just like the Flames. So we're going to see a good opponent there. We've lost to them twice this year, 4-1 and 2-1. We have not been good against Nashville.
No, not at all.
And then the season rounds out to this. Wednesday at the Dome, San Jose comes to town. San Jose has been god-awful. Seventh in the Pacific, fourth meeting. Flames have won all three, 5-2, 7-3, 5-3. How much fear is it that the 2 points in this determine us getting into the playoffs?
I would love it.
You feel confident? You feel confident against the Sharks?
Well, for the most part, but I mean, more than anything, like just, I remember years ago, I don't know why I remember this. I think it was 2002 when the Canucks beat someone on like the last day of the season or had to get a point. And I got smoked by Detroit. I think that's the year that Nick Lidstrom shot that puck through Dan Clouchier. But the Canucks were like scrapping all year and they made it in the playoffs like the last day of the season. It was just so cool. I'd love to see a scenario where Calgary could conceivably pull that off because realistically, it could be the closest thing to a playoff game we get.
Yeah.
I would love to see it come to that night because you like, imagine like, let's go back to last year when they beat Dallas in game seven. It's 2 a.m. here and I'm losing my mind. And, you know, I'm talking to a buddy of mine who's you know, relative of Johnny Gaudreau's, and he's losing his mind. It was just so cool, right? Like, to have, you know, if I can call you that night whenever that game's over and Calgary wins and they're in the playoffs, like, you know,
it's gonna be awesome.
I'll be going to work hungover. It's Wednesday. I don't care. I'll be going to work hungover.
It's going to be great. You know, but here's the problem that we're going to probably have. Even if that does happen, that's going to be on Wednesday night. We're probably going to, unless Winnipeg and, well, we don't want Winnipeg taking our business over Nashville, but if we take care of Nashville and Carolina helps us out tonight, you know, I don't want to have to come down to us sitting and watching to make sure Winnipeg loses to Colorado on Thursday night and then praying to God that, you know, Minnesota and Colorado beat Nashville Thursday. I don't want to have to sit through that.
I don't want to have to give a shit what other teams do.
Me either, but we're going to have to give a shit.
I know. But that's the worst. That's what, like, the worst position to be in. It's just like, because I'm not invested in them. And then, like, I don't know. It's just, like, what am I going to do? Go out and buy an Avalanche jersey for a day? Like, I whatever. I just don't care.
I feel like when no. I feel like when I watch out-of-town games, you know, like when it matters, you know, like the other night I turned the Jets-Devils game on because it mattered, right?
Yeah, and how'd that work out for you?
I just turned the damn thing off. I quit. I'm not watching those games. Didn't work very well for me.
Oh, yeah. It was a nightmare. We do have a couple quick notes, though. I have a question for you.
All right.
At this point, do you think Matthew Coronato plays an NHL game this season?
I don't want him to because that means we're not in this
anymore. No, that's what we said last time, right?
Do I think he will? No, I don't. I don't think he will. Yeah,
I don't either at this point. I wouldn't mind seeing it, even if, you know, even in the context of a playoff race, but knowing this team, this coaching staff, as we do, I don't.
There's
I don't
no way in hell that's going to happen with this coaching staff.
No. So hell. the other news of the day was Oliver Shillington's first Instagram post in ages. And he looks to be in pretty damn good shape. And he used a little keep quiet emoji. So, or he did, or he reposted or something. But clearly the guy is, he looks good, looks to be doing better, you know, recovering from something or, whatever, you know, being where he needs to be. Or what. And I'm not implying anything because I don't know.
We have no idea.
What do you does he play in the game for the Flames? Is he back in the lineup next season? Is there any chance we see him this season? Because we never got a definitive answer.
There's no way we see him this season. No way.
Right. Just crush that speculation, okay?
No way. There's no way we're seeing him this year.
All right. I agree with you.
Next year, okay, here's one of the things that frustrates me. Next year, okay, we have him signed at 2.5. We didn't even get to use the 2.5 the first year.
We talked about this before. You're like really fired up, and I agree. That should be like an ELC. Like those years should slide. If you didn't play, that's not the team's fault.
And it wasn't because of it's not the team's
fault. The other problem with that is that, you know, let's say we re-sign Troy Stetcher, because, you know, we at Flames Nation love two things: Michael Stone and Troy Stetcher.
good things to love, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
I know what I would do. And this is probably a summer episode, but here's what I would do. If Shillington's coming back, I still sign Stetcher, and I sign Stone to be my seventh guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I trade either Nikita Zadorov or Noah Hanifin, because I think I can get a good return for Noah Hanifin.
Mike Gold suggested that Nikita Zadorov could conceivably maybe fetch a first-round pick. And I don't think he's too far off base. He's a big dude.
Then we go for it.
Yeah. Jesse Pollock, a, you know, crazy Jets fan that I don't know why he matters so much, but he was complaining about Zadorov last night, you know, kind of getting his name out there more. Like, that's a guy that a lot of teams would covet, right? But the problem or the other issue here is that Oliver Shillington has virtually no trade value now.
No, none. None.
Absolutely none. He basically he doesn't exist anymore as far as the NHL is concerned.
Nope,
and nor will he until he comes back to Calgary
and proves it for shows he can play.
Yeah.
Shows he can be on the team for 12 months. Because we don't know what the problem is. We don't know that we don't know.
We don't know anything, right? So now it's like he goes from, like Dan Vladar, it's like it's a win-win. You keep him, he's a pretty good goalie. You trade him, you probably get a decent return, as we talked about. Shillington's, all you can do is keep him. Because what's somebody going to offer you? A fifth-round, fourth-round pick? Yeah, we'll take him off your hands. We'll give him a shot. Then he's going to go all Yusuf Valimaki and have a huge season.
I know, but that might be the risk. It might be a risk you have to do to get rid of the 2.5. I don't know. It depends on what state he's in. The team's got to know what's going on.
Well, I hope, and I'm going to assume, as much as assuming we all know what that does, he's been in contact with the team prior to jumping back on social media. Like, he probably said, you know, they've known for a while. I suspect, hey, you know, he's coming out of whatever's going on. He's back in shape or still in shape, whatever the case may be. You know, we'll see in the fall. You know, put in a big summer. We're going to need you, right?
Yeah. I hope so. I hope so. I mean, I wish him the best. And we could have sure as hell used him this year because our defense even looks better. And I don't think our defense has been a problem lately. I don't. I know. I just make a few stops here. We're all right.
So, based on what you said earlier, and forgive me because I didn't ask you until just now, but based on what you said, is your belief that the Flames are going to go 2-0-1 these last three games?
I feel like we beat San Jose. I feel like we beat Nashville. And I think we get that 1 point against Vancouver.
See? The same as me. That Vancouver game.
I worry about that Vancouver game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you ask most of, Flames fans, they probably feel the same way.
Now watch. What happens if Calgary goes on and pounds Vancouver 6-1?
We drink your beer and celebrate?
I guess we do. I don't know if I should be drinking beer right now with the medicines I'm on. I might not be here next week.
I'll come on to do the show, and we sadly lost Brad over the weekend. Turns out he was quite ill.
Iller than expected.
God forbid. I couldn't do this alone anyway.
Oh.
Now, I think it's safe to say we've also seen the last of Dan Vladar this season?
I don't know,
unless we see another mishap like the other night.
No, we have not seen the end of Dan Vladar. Is that a prediction you want to hear?
So does that mean Vancouver's going to beat us 6-1 and Markstrom gets pulled? I'm curious. I think with three games left, we can probably both agree that Vladar is done for the year, barring any goaltending shenanigans.
Oh, no. Barkstrom's going to fight Colin Delia on Saturday night, and he'll get tossed, and then I don't know.
I forgot that guy's in Vancouver.
Yeah, I don't know. My buddy texts me, and he's a Vancouver Canucks fan. He says, yeah, I heard they're starting Colin Delia Saturday night. I'm like, I'm sure they haven't announced their starter for Saturday night.
Yeah, what the hell?
Like, all right, whatever.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Like, I never heard of a team with a game tomorrow night. They're going to have fire off whether they're starting the following night. I don't think so.
I think whatever.
Whatever.
I think I think no matter how this goes, this is just hitting me. And cut this out if you disagree.
I'm not cutting like anything.
I feel like we need to do a live show at the conclusion of the season.
Well, we can.
I think we should have it on like, Twitter and just you
like
know,
live
see what kind of questions, thoughts.
Like what time? Like live when we beat San Jose and we have to wait for the rest of the teams, or like live when we get. Live when we lose to Vancouver and lose anxiety. To Nashville.
Once we know the result, are we in the playoffs or not? Let's have a proper send off with a couple of beers. And,
we might have to. We'll have to do that. We're gonna have to do that.
But we've become a lot less formal, you know, dealing with all the stress of this miserable hockey team the last few months.
You know, and then somebody says to me, you know, you always say one of the guys I work with says, you said the Flames are miserable. I looked in the record lately, and they've been really good. I'm like, doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, they've been really good. I'm still miserable.
I don't like having to fight to be in the playoffs. God dang it, this team's too talented to not be in.
Oh, yeah, they certainly are. Oh,
man.
But, again, the best perspective we can take is we're still playing meaningful hockey when we absolutely do not deserve to be.
We don't. We do not deserve to be. It's Brad, like
we just need some luck, man.
It's like we talked about last week. It's like an abusive relationship, man.
Yeah.
Let's shake it. Let's win three in a row and let's get to the playoffs. And God, at least we're watching meaningful hockey. I don't know.
We're looking just enjoy it. It's all you can do and enjoy it. And hey, when it's over, whenever it's over, it's, you know, there's always next year. So hey, hang in there for now. There's still hope.
Still hope. Still hope. Yeah. I never thought we'd be saying still hope right now. So Kyle, there's still hope.
For now.
Have a good weekend, Flames fans, and yeah.
Enjoy the long weekend, Flames fans.
Hopefully this goes well. Happy Easter, and happy three more wins in a row, right, Flames fans?
Absolutely.
Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The win column, play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.